Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Healthy Baby Boomers Network Blog Talk Radio Show. I am your host, Dr. Erica Goodstone, a spiritual relationship healing expert, helping men and women heal their bodies, their relationships, and their lives through love. Author of the book, Love Me, Touch Me, Heal Me, director of HealthyBabyBoomersNetwork.com, and this Thursday night, I'm offering a free live teleconference you won't want to miss about why now is the time for you to heal yourself and all your relationships through love. You can find out more at CompleteRelationshipSystem.com/teleconference. This show is all about living your dreams, fulfilling your life purpose, and creating and sustaining love and health and total well-being for the rest of your life, no matter how old you are right now. In every episode, I speak with vibrant, exciting, and positive men and women who are proving that life can, and often does, get better and better as we reach our 40s, 50s, 60s, and beyond. Today, I have the pleasure of speaking with Joy Vaughn, author of Powerful People, Powerful Lives, and the 7 Steps Empowerment Series for the Secular and Christian Souls. Born in Barbados, West Indies, with a bachelor's degree in occupational therapy and a master's degree in special education and neuropsychology, Joy is a former professor and worked as an occupational therapist for 28 years. She's a seminar leader, author, radio celebrity, and life coach. Joy was a seminar leader for Landmark Education and is a former member of the Youth Crime Task Force of Miami. Currently, she is a life coach and a regular guest on Trumpet Radio's Sisters Let's Talk. You can visit PowerfulPeoplePowerfulLives.com or contact her at joy@PowerfulPeoplePowerfulLives.com. So today I'd like to welcome Joy Vaughn.
Thank you, Erica. It is so great to be on your show today. It really is. So, again, thank you for having me.
You're so welcome. Well, I'm looking forward to learning more about you, and you've been doing so much with your life and putting so much out for other people and helping them. So I'd like you to begin with telling a little bit about yourself, your background, and how you got to be at this point where you're writing. What has led up to this?
Well, you know, reinvention is a wonderful thing. And along the way, I've had to reinvent myself several times. As you said, my journey, and it is a journey, being a baby boomer myself, it is a true journey where you start off on one path. Like for me, I started off in occupational therapy, an amazing, amazing career that started in New York City and ended up in Barbados and Indiana and now in Florida, and really looking to impact the area of health, whereby for most of your baby boomers, an occupational therapist is really focuses on the area of rehabilitation. So when people are ill, no matter what illness they have, your job, number one, is to get them functional with whatever they have left or whatever they got. And the nice thing about that career is that you can actually impact the lives of neonates all the way up to centurions. So it doesn't matter how old you are, that particular profession trains and develops you to impact the lives of the very, very young to the very, very old in the following areas: physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual. So it's a holistic, feel.
But I would like to add something. that I have had my own occupational therapy a couple of times for injuries, and it is so nice to be taken care of by someone who really understands what's going on in your body. I had broken a finger, and they really worked with it. It was painful, but I healed.
Yes. Yeah, the profession itself is one of healing. But this is healing of the mind, healing of the body, and healing of the spirit. And so that's really the context from which I, move forward. Now, interestingly enough, there came a point in my life when I needed an occupational therapist myself, which was very interesting.
Yeah, but that seems to happen.
The therapist became the patient. Oh, my goodness. And what happened was, Erica, I actually went to the dentist. Now, look, I love dentists, right? So if there are any dentists listening, this is not personal. I just don't like what you do. And I went to get my wisdom teeth taken out. And this is one thing I want to stress for the baby boomers. I got my wisdom teeth taken out in my 40s. I don't think that you should wait that long, because there were 5 nurses and myself who went through that same operation with different dentists. And we all ended up with fibromyalgia and arthritis combined. Yes.
Wow.
It changed
our entire lives
forever. Forever.
The trigeminal nerve is right near there. So
yes.
Wow.
And what happened is, so when I, we looked and said, well, different dentists, it's not the same dentist. We all had stressful lives. We were all givers.
Mm-hmm.
And we put ourselves first versus putting other people first.
I think you meant you put other people first.
Yeah.
The giver.
We did. I'm sorry. Yeah, instead of putting ourselves first. That's true.
Right.
Correction on that. So we would give and give and give and give. We'd be up late at night. We would deal with our children. We'd deal with our families, our patients. They became the wellspring of our lives, right? At the expense of no sleep, stress. And stress, is a terrible, terrible thing, particularly as you mature. And when I went to the dentist, I think I was holding all that in. Metaphysically, I was holding all that in. And then whatever happened in that operation released toxins into my body. Now, going back medically, I had had metal fill-ins, and this is for all you baby boomers who have metal fill-ins that I had not gotten removed. And during the operation, there was there was a release of mercury into my system. And that was the beginning of the end for me.
Wow.
And so I became paralyzed at one point, and I really couldn't walk. And all my skills as an occupational therapist had to come to bear. So I really had to remember, how would I turn a patient? How would I lift a patient? And I had to teach my family how to do that for me. But
wow.
I tell you, Eric, it was pretty, it was really something. The highlight
but
of
I
the
find
point.
That that's not unusual, that whatever someone does, like as a therapist, a psychotherapist, I have needed my own counseling really badly, something happens. I have to become a patient, and you become that much more wise and compassionate.
Absolutely. Do you know the work of Kubler-Ross?
Oh, yeah.
On death and dying. Okay. That, 3 things got me through that experience. First of all, my faith in God. It's very strong. Second, an amazing acupuncturist. And the third was the work of Kubler-Ross, where I could use her stages to really go through to the point of acceptance. Because here's what I had to accept, Erica, that I would never be able to do occupational therapy again.
Mm-hmm. That's huge, because that was your identity. You said, I think, 28 years?
Yes.
It becomes your identity. When someone asks you, what do? You say that right away. So to have that taken away, that's
exactly. And not only the identity, but my income.
Wow.
So I lost income. I lost my identity. It was really a very, very bad time of my life. But God, you know, that's what I always say. And I was able then to say, okay, whatever I've gone through, I didn't die. So let's get that out of the way. So there must be a reason I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
And I began to ask the universe, okay, now what? What do you want me to do? And I then began to write about my experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And write about other people's experiences, particularly the children and young adults.
When you wrote about it, where did you write about it? Did you write about it publicly or in your own little journal?
In my own little journal. I started to keep my own little journal.
Okay.
And then someone said, you know, I heard something say to me, you know, maybe you should publish this stuff. Put it out there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's a whole other ball game, right? It's one thing to write privately. And as you know, Erica,
right.
It's another thing to write publicly.
Not only to write publicly, but just to be private as opposed to being out there and feeling exposed.
Most definitely. And, of course, everything comes up like, will they like what I write? Is it good enough? Am I good enough? I don't know. You know, you have all these doubts and fears that naturally come up when you're trying to do something. But I mustered up the courage and I said, you know, I'm going to go full hog because I have to do something. I have to reinvent myself. And one of the things about writing is very cathartic. So as you write, you begin to release a lot of the hurts, a lot of the pain, a lot of the anger that you build up over the years. And I'd like to add something else. Sure.
People who read your writing may be going through what you went through a while back, and you can, just through your words and explaining what you went through and how you get past something, that can help another person to go through it and get past it.
Absolutely. And that's a good point, Erica, because when you write, you never write for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You think you're writing for yourself, but you're actually writing for others for the very same reason that you just mentioned.
Mm. That is so interesting. Well, we are all connected, and we can share with each other, and that's what's beautiful in life.
Absolutely, absolutely. And so through the writing then, it brought me into another industry, which is the publishing industry.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how many of you are aspiring writers who are listening to this session, but writing the material is one thing. Getting it published is a whole other ball game. And marketing it, well, that's a whole other level altogether. So I had to, here's what I discovered, Erica. Gone are the days of Ernest Hemingway. It's not like you're Hemingway, you show up, the waters part. And the publisher is going to say, yes, come on in. Oh, my goodness, I will give you $1 million to publish your book.
Right. It's not like that.
It truly is not like that.
It's work. You have to really believe in what you're doing and be determined and keep putting it out there, however you can.
Exactly. And that's why whatever you do in life, particularly whatever you decide to do, you have to be passionate, because it is your passion that will carry you through those dark days when nothing's happening, when you get no calls back, when you don't sell any books. It's that passion that will keep you going and have you then be creative to find new avenues and new expressions for what you want to say and for the people you want to impact the most.
And if you keep the focus out there instead of on yourself, like constantly thinking, I'm not good enough and why don't people like me, if instead you start focusing on how can I serve other people, what would be the best way that I can reach these people because I can help them? That makes a difference.
Yes, it really does. And that brings you to another point where it's marketing. Where's your market niche? How do you find them? So you see, each step of the journey brings its own challenges and opportunities for you to have your own victory. And once you have your own victory, others will have their own victories as well.
And we're all helping and teaching each other and sharing.
Most definitely.
So you write both spiritual and non-spiritual, is that true? Or you reach out to those different groups? Just explain a little bit.
Oh, thanks.
What your focus is.
My focus is on the basics. Faith, love, courage, humor, forgiveness, fun, and healing. That's my focus. And in those seven aspects, it doesn't matter whether you believe in God or you don't believe in God. Those are the foundation for any human being to get through life. And so that's what I focus on.
Mm. And so how do you focus? What kind of things do you write? And how do you put that to work?
Inspirational material. So I always go in steps, like seven steps to courage, and really write in about what it takes to move from point A to point B. Getting yourself out of the way in the inspirational series, the specific steps and specific exercises that take you through step by step by step so that you can get your victory. Because so many of us say, I want to do X. But the question is, are you willing to go through the steps to get X? And many people want to do something, but they may not have the courage to do it. So that's where my writing comes in and impacts you, so that you have the courage to actually take the first step and the second step all the way up to the seventh step. And by that time, you're fully then ready to launch out. And
well, it's interesting what you're saying, because so many people are afraid to get started. First of all, they don't know how. They don't know where to begin. And they think that if they're here and they want to get there, and they think they have to go right there, all the way to the end. And like, if you're writing a book, it has to be a bestseller right away. And it just doesn't work like that. You take these little steps.
Exactly.
You write one sentence, one paragraph. You write the first chapter, or you write an outline. It's a slow building process.
It is. And you have to have the patience of Job and Jobette. You just have to have immense patience.
So how does someone develop that patience? What do you teach people to help them do that?
I teach them to come from their passion. You know, when you're passionate about something, it doesn't matter if it takes you 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Your passion will drive you. And you just keep working. It's like knitting a sweater, you know? You start off with the first stitch. And it may be the biggest sweater ever. But you are passionate about your knitting. It's who you are, who you become, until you finish the sweater. And then it's like, wow, that's an amazing sweater. Now,
that's
what am I going to do with this?
I have an example of something like that. I was crocheting a blanket, and I visited my sister-in-law in Wisconsin, and I had this one little patch. So I said to her, it's taken me 4 years to do this, and she thought it took me 4 years to make this one patch. What it was is that every time I went on a plane, I was doing one more patch, and it was taking 4 years, but I had much more ready. That was just very funny. But that was a sample of it, one patch at a time,
exactly,
until you make the whole quilt.
And here's the thing, it's always about the journey. It's never about the destination.
That's so hard for so many of us to accept. Like, we want to get these tasks over with and get to the end.
Well, my son is so great. He calls it the microwave expectancy syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
Where you expect things instantaneously. But I've found that by taking your time to do something, and I don't mean, and I want to distinguish what it means by taking your time. I don't mean procrastinating, because that could look like you're taking your time too, right? And you never complete anything you start. By taking your time to really go on the journey, knowing that you have a beginning date and an end date, like you really set the end date. That's one of the things that we teach people, how to have a beginning and a middle and an end. Benchmarks, milestones that you can actually measure your success. And when you look back, you're like, wow, I'm already there. Like, I really finished that. And you're so proud that you've actually accomplished something, no matter even if it's one patch, right? That's an accomplishment within itself.
And that's why looking back year by year around New Year's Eve is a good time to look back on the past year and acknowledge your accomplishments, even list them, and then list what you plan to accomplish for the next year. That's setting goals.
That's a great exercise.
Yeah, but you feel good when you look back over an entire year instead of looking at this week or even this month, because life can interfere.
It sure
can. Anything can happen. I stepped on a tennis ball, and then I had a torn ligament, and then I had to go to the doctor. That interfered for a while. So if you look at that particular week, you don't get as much done because something in life interfered.
You know, I'm glad you brought that up, because interferences are actually opportunities. Most people don't see it like that. But every interference is an opportunity for you to look and see how you're going to do something different, or to take the time to do something else that's in alignment with where you need to go. So let me just give you an example. You know, I recently had a situation where I was teaching, and then I wasn't teaching anymore. Just like that. Nothing wrong. But it gave me an opportunity to focus on writing, because my time had been taken up, given to others, right? My usual pattern. And not doing what I need to do for myself. And so it's about being able to see, okay, great, that opportunity ended. What am I now going to do with what's in front of me? And I think as baby boomers, many of us live our lives, maybe some of us have been in jobs for years, yes?
Yes.
And then the job ends. But along the way, we'd never really look to see, who else can I be and what else can I do? We don't put those things in place. And so at the end, when the package ends, it's like, what do? Go home and watch TV? Okay, I travel a little bit. But now who am I? And you're so much more bigger than your job. And I bring that up for a reason, because it's one of the things we really have to take a really hard look at, even pre-boomer years, so we can prepare for our boom, so to speak.
And I would say, to add to that, it's not just about the job. It also happens to parents. They're working. I just visited my cousin this week, and he's running around almost like a chicken without a head. He has two sons, and he has to drive this one far away for basketball, this one for ice hockey, and, you know, real busy, busy, busy. But that's only for one period of life, and then that will end. And what are these parents prepared for afterwards?
That is really, really good. And most people aren't thinking along those lines.
No, they're just getting through this phase, dealing day to day and feeling stressed by it, instead of maybe loving and enjoying what's there in front of you, the special time with your child as the child is growing.
Most definitely.
The special skills you have at work and the way you're helping people, to just appreciate the daily activities and also have that vision for something else that you can do later on. I like that.
That's really great, Erica. I'm so glad you said that, because it brings up the whole topic of gratitude. One of my one of the seven steps is on gratitude. It's how to be grateful in the face of when you don't. How to be grateful when you don't see anything to be grateful for.
Wow, that's so true.
my experience was I had a guardian, an amazing woman who was my guardian for a while. And she, at the end of her life, she had Alzheimer's. And I know a lot of baby boomers out there are dealing with parents with Alzheimer's and at the same time raising grandkids. You know, we're kind of the sandwich generation. Mm-hmm. And towards the end, if you know anything about Alzheimer's, and I know you do, it's just such a painful disease to watch your loved one go through that, right?
Sure.
But I had to really stand in gratitude because she was teaching me something. And if I had not paid attention, I would have missed it. Because here's what I learned, how to be patient. I mean, really patient. How
yeah.
to cherish the person I knew before she turned into the person who I didn't know and didn't even like. And what helped me was I made a scrapbook and I wrote, again, writing, cathartic, all the good times, all the memories that we shared together, which she no longer remembered. And in her quiet moments, I would actually read that to her. I don't know whether she could hear me or not, but
that
I did
beautiful.
That for both of us.
What a beautiful thing that you could help couples to do that when a spouse is no longer that same spouse that this person was so happy with and shared a life with. That's beautiful.
It really helped me to get through the dark days with her.
See, that's something that I just saw an interview. Tony Robbins interviewed this lady who's 108 years old who had been in a concentration camp. And this lady is happy at this age, at 108. And what she said is one of the things that keeps her happy is she lives on her memories from the past. She keeps looking back at what was beautiful, what she had that was good. She doesn't dwell on the bad stuff that happened. And that's what you're saying. You looked back. Instead of looking right now at, oh, this is terrible, and, you know, how so many of us do that.
Mm-hmm. Well, it takes a lot of courage to really acknowledge the good, because we're so used to hearing what's wrong, right, that we need to fix something.
So true. So we don't have too much time left, so I thought one question would be, you're a regular guest on Sisters Let's Talk. What is that all about?
Well, Sisters Let's Talk is a Christian radio station for, and the show itself, Sisters Let's Talk, reaches women of faith who are dealing with whatever life throws at them. Now, they might be believers. They may have the word. They might have all of that. And yet still, they cannot move forward and they're stuck. So Sisters Let's Talk, along with, I work closely with Pastor Angel Gale, and together we then have a radio show where we deal with different topics that are relevant to women, and women call in, and then we share, and we are able to then give them, not advice, but at least encourage them to look at things a little bit differently, and to get healed and delivered from wherever, whatever their hurts are. And that's what we do on Tuesday evenings.
And that's probably what you do in your coaching as well.
Exactly. Exactly. Like I said, it doesn't matter where your belief is. There are 7 fundamental principles that are applicable to any human being. It's like Maslow's needs, right? Kind of like that.
Absolutely. Well, Joy, it's been delightful speaking with you, and you have so much to offer people. So I want to just repeat your website and your email. It's powerfulpeoplepowerfullives.com, and it's joy@powerfulpeoplepowerfullives.com. Thank you so much, and I just need to end now. On our next show, I will be speaking with Gloria Ramirez, a woman who has gone from adversity to helping others build and rebuild their lives and their communities and she's talking about the magic of self-love. I am your host, Dr. Erica Goodstone, saying goodbye for now. Please check out my free teleseminar this Thursday night at CompleteRelationshipSystem.com/teleconference. Or you can schedule an appointment with me at DrEricaWellness.com or get my free report at HealthyBabyBoomersNetwork.com, How to Live to 100 and Beyond.